If you were to look in your Pew Bibles at page 1065, you'll find yourself right in the middle of the book of Ephesians. And today I wanted to share a passage. It comes from the third chapter of Ephesians, verses 14 through 21. And this book of what we call a book of Ephesians is really a letter. It was a letter from Paul to the church at Ephesus. And the part that I'm reading today is really a prayer. Paul is offering a prayer for these good folks. Now, this is a church that not too long before he had started. He had gone there and spread this good news that he had come to find in such an amazing way in his life, and he wanted to share it. And he is telling them in this letter that he can't be with them in that moment, but he wants them to move forward. He wants them to move forward with a sense of unity and keeping in their hearts the most important things. And so it's a very passionate letter. And so let me read this prayer, this portion that comes from the third chapter of Ephesians. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." May God bless our hearing. May God bless our understanding of this holy word for us today. Shall we bow our heads? Lord God, on this Sunday that we gather again after a summer of being indifferent in many places, we thank you that we are together, and we pray that you might use this day to speak to us, things we need to remember and things we need to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard that expression, half the fun is getting there? I've been thinking about that a lot lately. So many of you have been asking about my daughter Blair, who some of you know is in Nepal working at an orphanage. And she is there safely. Thank you for your many prayers. I greatly appreciate that. The prayers in our household have been mostly in the past few days about getting her there safely. It's such a long trip. We had a family friend who offered his miles so that Blair might not have to pay for the trip, and that was a wonderful thing, but it took many different legs of the journey and a lot of different stops and layovers, but she got there safely. But I was thinking about half the fun getting there. Our thought was that we just wanted her to get there safely, you know, and Blair's thought was in each of these places that she was going to stop, she was going to have some fun and leave the airport and go different places and do different things. So when she got to Boston from L.A., she went into Boston and met some of her friends, including our own Josh Weiss, who she saw up there. And then she went to London and decided that she was going to learn the subway system, the tube, take that into London. She wanted to see Big Ben. It turns out she saw a lot more than that, and also went into a pub and had fish and chips and a half pint of Guinness. On her next leg into Bahrain, she sat next to a man who was an Afghan citizen who had been kidnapped by the Taliban and released just a few months before. But she eventually did make it. And I've been thinking about journeys a lot. Her journey was so amazing. We just couldn't believe all that she did. But it's thinking about our journey together, our journey as the people here at Christ Church on Quaker Hill. In some ways, today is kind of like an unofficial holiday in many churches. Some churches call us Rally Day or Homecoming Sunday. We don't have an official name for it, but it is kind of a first day back after the slower months of summer. Our Sunday school starts up again, regular Sunday school. The program years begin. We start thinking about all the different things that we're going to do. And it's a good chance in this regathering. It's a great opportunity for us to think about our journey and our church and our lives. Our individual lives and our lives together. Now, you might think that on kind of a first Sunday back that the pastor might kind of gently ease us into it, gently encourage us and slowly gear up for what's to come, consider some options. Well, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I want to jump right into it. And I think in Paul's letter to us today, there's something that we can take about our church and how we're going to look at the future. I want to use this passage to really push us to think about ourselves and the journey we take and our church. Coming back after these months of summer is not just kind of restarting where we left off back in May. This Sunday is an opportunity. It's a chance for us to offer recommitment to all the wonderful things that this church stands for, all the wonderful things that we can do together. And it's a challenge also, a challenge where God, I believe, is asking us that question that we should always be asking ourselves, and that is, what is God calling us to? What is God asking us to do in these days and weeks and months ahead? What is God asking us as individuals? What is God asking us as this great church? And as we ask those questions, other questions come to mind. You know, what gift has God given us that we're just letting lie there? We're not using. What part of our lives do we know that we need to do some work on, but which is so daunting that we just put it off? What new places is He sending this church? What areas, new areas of ministry, is God saying to us, you should be doing this. You should be growing into this area. I call it the growing edges of faith. Where will our journey take us? In this letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul is pushing that church. If you read the whole letter, he's really pushing them. He's pushing them to think deeply, to remember some very important truths, and he's pushing them to move into a future that is not only the one that they are meant to live, but the one that will give them their best life, that will give them the best that God has to offer them. Paul is saying that he isn't going to be with them physically as they journey together, but he is saying that God will, and that's more important. He tells them that as they walk that path, as they face that future, there's a couple of things that you should remember, he says, and he prays it. He says, in effect, I pray that you don't ever forget the depth of God's love for you. He talks about the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of it. He says you always need to remember that because sometimes it's easy to forget. And then he goes on to say something else. He says also that there is a power at work within you. And it comes from that same God who offers you that love, is the same God of that power. And that power, if we recognize it, if we feel it, if we tap into it, if we let it work within us, will let us do and accomplish not only more than we thought, but more than we could even imagine. God is at work within us, Paul says to those folks at the Ephesian church. God is at work within us, I say to you today. And there is a responsibility and challenge that comes with that. As we hear those words, as we think about what that means, we can hear that God is challenging us. As we begin a new day, a new year, so to speak, a new season of the church, do we believe that there is a power at work within us? And if we do, what are we doing about it? How are we using it? How are we tapping into it? Because it is a power that wants the best for us, that wants us to use it and to share it and to grow it. A power that, if we let it, will lead us to the best things in life. Just like Paul said to those people that he wrote that letter to. It is a power that God plants in each of us, but which we have to connect to. Like a battery in a car, or the power line that comes into our house. It only means something if we throw the switch, if we make the connection. But when we do, when we make that connection, we see, as Paul said, that there is more. More than we thought, more than we even can imagine. This summer, in one of the summer sermon series that I offered from this pulpit, I talked about the theme of creation, talked about the creating God. And I think that God asks us to be his partner. God created the world, but God is always creating, and God asks us to help, to be his partner in creation. As God works to make us and his world what he had in mind, he asks us to help. Not because he needs the help, but because it makes us more, and it makes us better. If we were to read a little bit later in that letter, after where I stopped this morning, we read that he tells that those folks, God gives each of you a special gift. Use it, he says. And so we come to see that only by tapping into this power, by using these gifts, by knowing the fullness of God's love for us, can we be fulfilled. Only by doing that will we take the journey together that is the best one for us. Think back to the first time that you came here to this church. It might have been 50 years ago. It might have been last week. What brought you here? And what kept you coming back? We probably would have a lot of different answers to that question. For some, it might be the music. For some, it might be the beautiful setting up here on this hill. For some, it might be the welcoming feeling that we always try and present here. Probably a lot of different things, many of us would say. But I'd be willing to say that all of those answers point to an even deeper answer. And that is because coming here, you feel closer to God. Isn't that why we come to church? To be closer to God? Because in feeling close to God, we find hope. And we need hope. And we feel and find direction for this journey that we are all on, and which sometimes can seem so unclear. And we find meaning and purpose for our lives. And the great thing about church is that we get to do it together. We get to do all of those things together. And we need to do them together because we help each other. The gifts that God has given each of us, not all of us have. And so as we share them together, we become, as Paul said in many of his other letters, we become a body, like a body, the body of Christ. This church has been an open church, a place of hope, a community of faithful followers for over 100 years. But the last thing God wants us to do is to sit on our laurels. God wants us to do and be even more. Not because he wants to keep us busy, because he knows that in calling us to those things, that he will give us, we will find in those things the things that we're looking for, the reasons why we come here to this church every week. Faith, strength, hope, meaning, purpose. And there is a world out there that is seeking all of those things. There are friends of yours out there who you know are looking for those very same things. In the year that lies ahead of us, God is saying to us, keep your connection to me strong and be a place, a people of hope and light and help. That is the life of the church. That is the power at work within us. That is the journey and the purpose that we share. What will be your part in it? How is God asking you to play a part in it? What is God whispering in your ear in these days? What is your gift that God and the rest of us need? What power haven't you tapped into yet? That's a lot of questions for this Sunday, isn't it? It's a lot to think about. This year ahead is going to be a great one for this church. I just know it. I'm not saying we won't face our challenges or hurdles, but we are going to grow into what God is calling us to be, and we all have a part in that. As Jesus says, we aren't going to let our light be hid under a basket. There is a light shining from this place, and we can't hide it. We are going to be what a church should be. Salt of the earth, a city set upon a hill, from which are coming all of these things. That is where our journey takes us next. A journey that began over 100 years ago and will continue long past any of us will still be here. But that is where our journey takes us next. And as I said, getting there is half the fun, isn't it? Are you up for the ride? Are you in? Let's not hold back. Let's not hold back anything. Let's not hold back in our love for each other, in our obligation to share blessings with each other and others beyond these walls. And let us not hold back in making this great church even more what God asks us to be. May it be so for us. May it be so for this church in these coming months especially. Amen.